Thank you for tuning in to Emmanuel Faith Community Church. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Dennis, and I'm glad to be back with you again this morning. Warm welcome to all the folks in the chapel and online, and to the folks in the balcony. Nice to see all of you. Glad to have you here. I would venture to guess that all of us can recite our nation's Pledge of Allegiance. Can we do that? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We all know it by heart, but I would venture to guess most of us don't know the story behind its development. Historians credit a minister named Francis Bellamy with writing it 1892 to celebrate the 400th anniversary of Columbus' arrival in the Americas. Interestingly, the very first version started with the phrase, "I pledge allegiance to my flag." It was replaced 30 years later by the flag of the United States to eliminate any possible confusion for foreign-born citizens. And soon after that, United States of America was added. It was officially recognized by Congress in 1942 when it was formally included in the U.S. flag code. And the last change occurred in 1954 at the urging of President Eisenhower by Congress. They passed a law which added the words "under God." The Pledge of Allegiance is a wonderful unifying statement to be supported by every citizen of this great country in which we are privileged to live. And all who would agree said, amen. Amen. Now, why start our Bible study time with that? Well, because according to our text, scripture this morning, every born-again follower of Jesus Christ has another citizenship more important and of higher priority than her or his citizenship in any earthly nation. What citizenship is that? Well, let's take a look at it together. Open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 1 as we continue our study of this letter to the Philippians, learning this morning about what it means to pledge allegiance to a colony of heaven. Philippians chapter 1. Page number's up on the screen for that Bible there in front of you if you'd like to study along. Let me take just a moment and give you a quick recap of the historic context. Last weekend, Pastor Josh finished up the autobiographical section of this letter talking about how Paul was under house arrest in the ancient city of Rome. He was accused of starting a riot in Jerusalem. He appealed to Caesar and was brought to Rome, placed under arrest until he could stand trial. While he's there, he's carrying on a very, very effective evangelistic ministry among all the Roman guards. It's just another example how God allows bad things to happen to accomplish something good. If you remember a few weeks back when I was here, God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. And that happens time and time again within our lives. And it's happening within Paul's life here as well. Well, as Paul thought about his upcoming trial, he knew he might die. He might be found guilty and executed. And it didn't scare him because he knew it would mean going to heaven. And that's what he really wanted to do. But he was also convinced that the Philippians needed some additional help with their spiritual lives. And convinced of that, he was sure that God was going to return a not guilty verdict and then be allowed to return to Philippi and to help the people. And so convinced of that, he starts now talking about all of these spiritual growth issues that he has in his mind of what they need. And they're not a perfect church in ancient Philippi. They got all the problems that every church has. They got problems with harmony within, And they've also been attacked from the outside. So there's internal issues within people's relationships within the church, but they're also getting some harassment from opponents on the outside to the gospel here. And so Paul, knowing that he can't leave Rome until his trial, he's under house arrest, he can't go anywhere, so he decides, I'm going to write him a letter. And we call that letter to the Philippians. And that's why we have it in our Bible. And in it, he essentially says, listen, I may not get there for a while, but if I don't, there's something that I really want you to do. And that's where we pick up our text. Here's his primary concern. This is what he wants more than anything else, because he's away from them, knows that they need some help. So he says to him, chapter 1 and verse 27 here, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. There it is. Inspired words by the Holy Spirit for the people in ancient Philippi. Inspired words for you and me and us at Emmanuel Faith Community Church. Conduct yourselves. That's what he's most concerned about, is the way that they actually live. It's an interesting original word. It's a verb. Politouamai in the Greek language. It's the word from which we get our English word politics. And it means essentially to live as a good citizen, the way that some of the translations actually have it within the text. I want you to live as a good citizen. And the Philippians knew all about it because they thought of Philippi as a little Rome. Even though it was on the island of Greece, they thought it was a little Rome. And as such, they considered themselves Roman citizens. They dressed like Romans in ancient Philippi. They spoke Latin, which was the language of Rome. They pledged allegiance to the Roman emperor. And they lived all of their lives by the values, the characteristics, and the priorities of Rome. So they knew exactly what it meant to live as good citizens of ancient Rome. Well, when Lydia and the others, Acts chapter 16, you can read about it, when they come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they immediately become citizens of a different country to honor with their pledge of allegiance. And Paul in chapter 3 tells them exactly what that citizenship is that we are citizens of heaven. A colony of heaven. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they no longer pledge their primary allegiance to an earthly Caesar, but instead to a heavenly king. And they no longer align themselves with Roman values, earthly values, but with godly values, heavenly values. And Paul's challenge, it's not hard to really understand. He just says, listen, I want you to match up that daily conduct on earth with your citizenship above. And let that heavenly allegiance, that pledge of allegiance to a colony of heaven, let that dictate and control your earthly choices. Now, that creates some tensions for us, doesn't it? Creates a lot of tension for us. And I want to be clear with this, because I'm a guest here, okay? But I want to be clear with you. I'm going to do what I always do. I'm just going to tell you what the word says, all right? Should we as citizens of the United States of America be concerned about what's happening in America today? Of course we should. Of course we should. Should we be involved in the political process? Yeah, do as you are led. Completely. Christ followers are free to take and exercise the civic and legal privileges our forefathers fought and died to earn for us. We're absolutely clear on that. But Anybody who names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and King is challenged very, very clearly to seek, what's that word? Say it loudly, come on. Seek first. That's a priority word. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else. And we love this country of ours. But Jesus made it very, very clear that the kingdom that we are to seek first, it's not of this world. You see that on the back of cars all the time? Those back windows, not of this world. So our primary citizenship is no longer to an earthly realm, but to a heavenly country. And it's one that we seek by faith. And God's people have always done that from the very, very beginning. The writer of the Hebrews in chapter 11, it's got a long section on it, chapter 11. They confess that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. That's a funny way to describe ourselves, isn't it? That I'm a stranger here. I'm an exile here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through, right? For those who say such things make it clear that they're seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they'd been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire what kind of a country? Better country. And again, that's funny. That's not saying we don't love our country of America. We just have a better country. That's what the text says. That is, what kind of country? A heavenly one. And that becomes our priority. And that's what we seek. And because of that, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he's prepared a city for them. So, are you one of those that are seeking the better country? A heavenly country by faith? Challenging text. Because if we do, Paul says, set your mind on things above. That's your priority. That's where we get our values. That's where we align ourselves. That's where we make that pledge. And if we do that, we fulfill what Paul wrote in verse 27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We'll become worthy, a fitting, appropriate, in keeping with. Because we say we're citizens of the colony of heaven, and we want our daily conduct, the way that you and I and we live together in this wonderful country of ours, the way that we live, we want to align ourselves with what's above. Our first priority. And create some tensions. Because our king, he said, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, what should you do? Come on, what are you supposed to do? Turn to him the other also. That creates some tensions, doesn't it? He said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's hard to do. He said, don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but give a blessing instead. Wow, that one's really hard. in a culture where demeaning and belittling those who are opposed. He said, feed the hungry. He said, clothe the naked. Care for widows and orphans in their distress. Stop the grumbling. Stop the complaining. Enough, Paul says. Why? You want to prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as what? Come on, what's it say? Lights, that's what we're supposed to be. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So, I pledge allegiance to the colony of heaven. And so many of you are doing this. I look out and I see you. Walked with you through life. Buried some of your spouses. Married your kids. Baptized your grandkids. And so many of you are made that pledge of allegiance to the colony of heaven. You're seeking first the kingdom of God. I want to just tell you, you're very, very pleasing to the Lord, and keep going. And you're a great testimony. Keep going. Keep that as your priority. But I, for one, I needed a little swift kick in that kind of back area. Make sure that my priorities or straight. Make sure that my life is testimony. What God wants for me. I'm actually living it out. I'm reminded of the story. I don't know if you saw it in the paper or not, but a man was driving late for a businessman, late for a meeting. Had to make a left turn. Got in the left turn lane, hit a red arrow car in front of him. And he just sat there, and you know, some of these lights in Escondido are the longest lights in the history of mankind, but I digress. And so the man just sat there and sat there and sat there, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Light turns green, arrow. And the car in front of him doesn't do anything because he's down there, you know. And the guy, he starts mumbling to himself, the business, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And then, to his horror, the arrow turns yellow and then red. And finally, he just lays on the horn. And the guy just throws the phone up. He goes through the red light, but the guy doesn't. So he just sits there. And pretty upset, doesn't even notice the policewoman standing next to him. Knocks on the window. She says, put your hands on the steering wheel, please. Get out of the car. So the business gets out of the car. She handcuffs him, throws him in the back, takes him down, books him. About 2 hours later, another officer comes in, gets the guy, brings it out. And the woman, the police officer there, she says, listen, I've made a horrible mistake. I'm really sorry, but I have to explain myself. I looked at your car, and on the back of it was a bumper sticker that said, what would Jesus do? And I heard you just cussing a blue streak, and I saw on the back that Christian fish emblem. And they said, the real problem was, I looked on the back and I saw that bumper sticker that said, I attend Emmanuel Faith Community Church. And so she said, I knew one thing was certain. She said, I knew you had to stolen that car. Because nobody from Emmanuel Faith would act that way, would we? You are writing a gospel, a chapter a day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Folks, read what you write, whether faithless or true. So, what is the gospel according to you? And that's why Paul's writing this letter to the Philippians. He says, listen, I may not get there. They might find me guilty and I might get executed. But I think I'm going to be there. But I can't come just yet. So this is the one thing I want you to do. You've made a pledge of allegiance to the colony of heaven. Now live it out. That's what he says. Did you come to hear from the Lord this morning? Live it out. That's what he says. You, me, and us. Live it out. First priority. And then he gave him four quick ways to do it. First, he says, stay steadfast in spirit. Verse 27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit. To stand firm. The original word emphasizes a tenacity of holding your position. You're dug in. Your values, they're set, they're established, you're steadfast. These are the principles that I'm holding to, whether anyone else holds to them or not. As for me and my house, we're citizens of the colony of heaven. And our first priority, before I think of anything else as to what's right and wrong in the eyes of this culture, I'm going to think of what's right and wrong in the eyes of my King. How about you and your house? People in our culture, they shack up. In the colony of heaven, we believe in the covenant of marriage. There it is. The profanity that is the norm, we strive not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. We don't hold grudges against those who hurt us. We stand firm in one spirit. We try not to be bullheaded. We try not to be arrogant. We try not to be belittling and derogatory towards those that we disagree with. Because we have higher values that we're committed to, whether anybody else commits to them or not. That's what it means. Heavenly allegiance, secondly, is seen by a unity of purpose. Verse 27, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together, it's an athletic term, sunathleo, to compete with. And the idea is that we, as believers in Christ, we don't fight each other face to face. We stand side by side in our purpose. In the historic context, there were two ladies that were getting after each other, and Paul wrote about them in chapter 4. But I just tell you this, is that we have the enemy of our souls, and what he wants to do is divide and conquer at Emmanuel Faith Community Church and pit us against each other. Are we going to agree on everything? Absolutely not. But do we hold to a higher principle of unity? That's what the colony of heaven is all about. We're united in purpose. For 85 years, Emmanuel Faith has kept this priority. I just say, keep going. Keep going. Because in the colony of heaven, we forgive each other when we hurt each other. I don't know if you're at odds with anybody. But in the colony of heaven, we strive to work side by side. And that's the way we deal with each other on the inside. And if we live out these values, I promise you this, is there's going to be somebody who's going to be against us. Verse 28, in no way alarmed by your opponents. Someone who's dead set against you just happens. You can do everything right. If you're going to live this out, you're going to get into some trouble. I mean, they put our king on a cross and killed him. And it just happened. I did a memorial service right here. And guy had come to faith in Christ late, and I'll just leave it stated at that, and I share the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I go home afterwards. I get a telephone call. I'm at my home. My kids are around me. I had a home. This guy starts screaming at me on the phone. What a buffoon you are, blah, 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 blah. Everything inside of me, I wanted to tell him to go pound sand, you know, it was just everything inside of me. And so I listened to him and hung up. And I thought, well, I finally did something right. And Paul goes, you see what he says? I did describe it. Verse 28. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. See, this world in which we live, it's not just where we play. It's where we do battle. And when opposition comes, just be aware that it's evidence that you belong to him, see? Because we end up going through the exact same thing that he went through. It's just proof of our citizenship. And sometimes it gets pretty bad. There's a lot of tensions in this, isn't there? Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the, what's it say? Yeah, there it is. There's the proof of citizenship in the kingdom, that you belong. And if it gets really bad, then we have some perspective. Verse 29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake. To be granted something means to be given a gift. It's the idea of a gracious gift. So we've been graciously given two things. Verse 29, to first believe in him. Faith is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. That in and of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So it's a gracious gift that's given to us. And we like that gift. But verse 29, God has also graciously granted to us to suffer for his sake. That doesn't sound much like a gift, does it? And nobody likes it. Who likes being called a hater? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That is as exclusive a statement as you're ever going to hear. But that's what it says. And if people disagree with that, and if they're haters, then, you know, we call us haters, and there it is. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. That's it. And if the opposition gets to the point where we suffer for it, then we just get some perspective. We're not going to be here forever because we have a heavenly kingdom where we are going. It's the better country. It's the favored place. Paul said, I prefer to be there. But it doesn't make the suffering fun. Just hurts, it's horrible, but sometimes it happens. You draw a line in the sand, there's going to be somebody on the other side of it. Just the early apostles went their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. All the early folks went through it. Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. Why? Because this is, we love America. But I have citizenship above that becomes my priority of greater allegiance. And sometimes verse 30, it means experiencing the same conflict, the same struggle, which you saw in me and now here to be in me. I'll conclude with this. Peter said it this way. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad that these trials make you, say that with me, partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed in all the world. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at all. Because there's a fellowship of his suffering. And thankfully, we don't experience a lot of it here. We have a lot of other sufferings that Luke mentioned and others have mentioned. We have the emotional turmoil of our lives and the pains and anguish of old age and just, you know, getting older is not for sissies. I'll just put it, I can say it like that, you know. But what Paul was talking about is very deep and significant heart issue of where our values lie and where our allegiance lies and where our heart is. And without equating the two, we love our country, but we have a primary allegiance to a different country. That becomes our priority. One story. I've mentioned to you before that when my kids were little, I tried to teach them how to play chess. And these little chess pieces that we would put out there. And my kids were small, and they got the, you know, the idea of the game pretty good, that if you somebody was in one of the squares and you had a guy, they called him, then you would just take that guy. And it didn't matter the value of each of the pieces. That didn't care. They just wanted a bigger stack of guys. And so if they had a pawn, they would trade a queen for a pawn any day of the week. Just because they wanted a big thing in their pile, you know. And it got a little frustrating to me. And just, come on, you guys. There's more to the game than this. There's a whole point that you're missing. It's not about getting a bigger pile of guys. It's all about the King. And man, as soon as I said it, I thought, that's a good word for me. Did you come to hear from the Lord this morning? What's his message? It's all about the King. And honoring the King. And following the King. Pleasing the King. Why? Because the King went to the cross, died, paid the penalty of my sin. All of them. Yours. Ours. Every day now becomes the opportunity to say thank you to our King by the way that we live. And having that as priority and trying to filter everything through. What's the King say about that? Because I can get busy taking guys. And so we gather together as an assembly of the colony of heaven on Sunday because of the day that the Lord rose from the dead. And we remind ourselves, seek first the King of God. Hope you will. How's your heart doing? Is it revolving around the King? Because this is our opportunity now to reaffirm and realign. Okay. Hope you will. All right, let's bow our heads. We'll pray. Conclude our time. All right, everybody take a deep breath, will you? Anything that you need to say personally and privately to the King? Holy Spirit, I pray you'll take and use these words to please the Father and to exalt our Lord and our King in every way. So help me, Lord. I'll make a mess of it this week unless you help me. Help my sisters and brothers in Christ. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our service. We'd love to have you join us in person. For more information about our church and service times, please visit efcc.org. If you would like to support the ministries of Emmanuel Faith, you can do so at efcc.org/give.